And now we'll read from the Book of Heaven, Volume 24, August 12, 1928. One who lives in the divine fiat rises into the acts of innocent Adam and possesses the universal virtue. How the fiat is order, how the life of one who lives in it is precious. I was continuing my round in the creation, and I paused now at one point, now at another, to be able to follow and look at what God had done in creation, and arriving at what Adam had done in his state of innocence, I was saying to myself, how I wish I could do what our Father did in his state of innocence, so that I too might love and glorify my Creator as he did in the original state of his creation. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, in his state of innocence, possessing the life of my divine will, Adam possessed the universal life and virtue. Therefore, I found the love of everything and of everyone centralized in his love and in his acts, and all the acts were unified together. Not even my works were excluded from his act. I found everything in the works of Adam. I found all the shades of beauties, fullness of love, unreachable and admirable mastery, and then everything and everyone. Now one who lives in my will rises into the act of innocent Adam, and making the universal life and virtue her own, she makes his act her own. Not only this, but she rises into the acts of the Queen of Heaven, in those of her very Creator, and flowing in all the acts, she centralizes herself in them and says, everything is mine, and I give everything to my God. Just as his divine will is mine, so everything is mine, everything that came out of it. Having nothing of my own, with its fiat I have everything, and I can give God to God. Oh, how happy, glorious, victorious I feel in the eternal volition. I possess everything, and I can give everything without exhausting anything of my immense riches. So there is no act, either in heaven or on earth, in which I do not find one who lives in my will. Then I continue to follow the acts of the divine fiat, and my always lovable Jesus added, my daughter, my will is order, and it places its divine order in the soul in whom it reigns. And by virtue of this order, the creature feels order in her thoughts, in her words, in her works and steps. Everything is harmony. This divine will maintains order in all the works that came out of the Supreme Being, in such a way that they are so linked together as to be inseparable from one another, even though each work has its distinct office. By virtue of this order, the union among them is such that one could neither live nor act without the other. More so, since one is the will that moves them and gives them life. In the same way, by virtue of the fiat, the soul feels within her the order of her Creator, and feels so linked and united to him that she feels inseparable from her Creator and transfused in him. So she feels herself heavens and feels the stars that adorn her beautiful heavens flow in the order of her actions, words, thoughts, and steps. She feels herself sun and wants to run to give light to all. She feels herself earth and enjoys the beautiful flowerings and the beautiful scenes of her sea of grace, which flows within her soul. And she would want to put out these enchanting scenes and her beautiful flowery fields so that all may enjoy and receive the great good of the dominion of my divine will. So the true sign that my fiat reigns in the creature is that one cannot see clashing or disordered things, but highest harmony and perfect order, because everything she does has its origin in the one who created her, and she does nothing but follow the order and the works of her creator. Then he continued saying, therefore, my daughter, the life of one who lets my adorable will live in her is so precious and striking to me, and of a beauty so rare, that it is impossible to find one similar to her. I see nothing but our works come out of her. If it were necessary for our glory and for our inextinguishable love, she would form for us a new heaven and the whole of creation, and flowing within the works of redemption and sanctification, she would give us new redemptions and sanctifications, because that divine will that did all this within ourselves can do the same in the creature in whom it dominates and reigns. And just as it called all of our works from nothing, so it can call them from the nothing of this creature, not only by repeating all of our works, but by adding yet more surprising things. And we, our Supreme Being, knowing that this creature can give us anything by virtue of our fiat, feel glorified and loved, as if indeed she were doing them for us, because in her we look not only at what she does for us, but also at what she can do for us. See then how much preciousness she encloses, how striking she is in all of her acts. The shades of her beauty enrapture us and form the most delightful scenes for our divine gaze, so much so that in our emphasis of love, we are forced to exclaim, oh, our will, how prodigious, admirable, lovable, and delightful you are in the creature in whom you reign. She is your veil, in which, hiding yourself, you prepare the most beautiful and delightful scenes for us to enjoy. Therefore, she can be called the most fortunate creature who arrives at calling the attention of her God to make him feast and to let him enjoy his own works, and who can reach the point of saying, by virtue of your will, I possess everything. I bring you everything, and I want nothing, because whatever is yours is mine.
August 15, 1928. The living in the divine fiat is communism, communism between creator and creature, the Virgin, her insuperable glory, the sanctity and the divine will known in heaven. My abandonment in the fiat is continuous. It seems to me that it wants me in all of its acts, either as actor together with it, or at least as spectator of what it does. In fact, since the eternal volition possesses the incessant act, its nature is to always act, never ceasing to operate. And since I am a little child, it is content with keeping me either in one way or in the other, as long as I remain with it. So continuing my round through the whole creation, I thought to myself, is it necessary? Does Jesus really want that I go around everywhere? And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, to live in my divine will is to let oneself be found by God in each created thing. so that the Supreme Being may find in all of his works her whom he loved, and for love of whom he called from nothing and created so many varieties of beautiful and marvelous works. Not finding you in each of his works, he would lack the echo of your love, of your gratitude, and would be as though without you in those works in which you would not go around, as if he had not done them for you. Well, our purpose in calling you to live in our divine will is precisely this: for us to find you in our works, and for you to find us in each created thing. You giving us your little love, we giving you the great love which we had in creating so many things, and uniting your love and ours together to form one single love, so as to be able to say how much the little daughter of our divine will loves us. Otherwise, our love and our works would remain isolated and without the company of her for whom we created everything. While the living in the divine will is communism between creator and creature and becoming inseparable wherever one is, the other is as well, and the creature finds her little place in everything that God does. Don't you want to find your little place in all the works of creation and redemption? Therefore, continue your flight and let yourself be carried in the arms of my fiat. It will take care of placing the little newborn in each of its works. After this, I was thinking about and accompanying the sovereign queen when she was assumed into heaven, and my sweet Jesus moving in my interior, as though singing the praises of his celestial mother, told me, "My daughter, the glory of the Mama of Heaven is insuperable. No one else in the celestial regions possesses seas of graces, of light, seas of beauty and of sanctity, seas of power, of science, and of love. And what is more, she possesses these seas within the endless sea of her Creator. The other inhabitants of the Blessed Fatherland possess, at most, some little rivulets, some little drops, some little fountains. She is the only one, because she alone lived life in the divine fiat. Never did the human volition take place in her. Her life was all of divine will, and by virtue of it, she centralized all creatures within herself, conceiving them in her maternal heart, and by locating her son, Jesus, as many times to give him to each creature whom she had conceived with her virginal heart. This is why her maternity is extended to all, and all can boast and say, 'The mother of Jesus is my mother.' And this mother, so sweet, lovable, loving, gives her beloved son to each one of us as pledge of her maternal love. Only my will could give her this virtue of conceiving all creatures as her children and of multiplying her Jesus so many times for as many children as she had. Now in heaven, the height of the sovereign mother possessing her seas does nothing but raise highest waves of light, of sanctity, of love, etc., unloading them over the throne of the Supreme Being, who, so as not to be surpassed by her love, having his own sea more extensive and more deep, forms his own waves higher from beneath the seas of the Virgin Queen and pours them upon her. And she prepares more waves in God, yet more, in such a way that the whole of heavens remains flooded by these waves of light, of beauties, of love, and the like, so much so that all take part in them and enjoy. And in seeing that they, that is, the blessed, cannot form these waves because they do not possess these, they comprehend that if their mother and queen possess all this It is because she formed her life and sanctity in the divine will. So in the Virgin, the saints know what the what sanctity of divine will in the creature means, and therefore they long for more creatures to bring these seas into the celestial fatherland, so as to see more waves being formed, enchanting, and of greater enjoyment for them. The earth does not yet know the sanctity of my will, and this is why I so much yearn to make it known. But it is well known to heaven, because there is sovereign queen, who by merely seeing her, makes herself revealer of the sanctity of my fiat. So by virtue of it, she was portent of graces on earth for herself and for the whole human family. And she is portent of glory in the celestial fatherland, nor can any other creature be said to be similar to her.
August 18, 1928. Pains in the fiat are drops, and one reaches the point of snatching them. Example, how the truths about the divine will are divine lives and are all in waiting to perform their office. I was doing my usual round in the works of redemption, and pausing now at one pain, now at another, that Jesus and the celestial queen had suffered, I thought to myself, who knows how their hearts must have been drowned in their pains, and not little pains. The Virgin, reaching the point of sacrificing her own son, and the son, his very life. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, since the divine fiat reigned in me and in my mother, we comprehended what doing and suffering an act in it meant, and the great good that was acquired. So, in view of this great gain, the pain seemed small to us, like a drop of water in the immense sea. And in order to make more gains, we longed for more occasions of works and of pains, because there is no pain, not even the sacrifice of one's own life, that can equal a gain so great through an act in my divine will. We found ourselves in the condition of a person who is offered the good of a work. Even though it is tiring, the earning is so great that he would lay down his life to have the occasion of having other similar work. In fact, in the face of the great gains, the pains are longed for, yearned for, and one reaches the point of snatching them. If with the work of one day one could earn a kingdom, rendering himself and his whole fatherland happy, who would not do the work of one day? Even though for me, and for the celestial lady of the fatherland was already ours, we were more than happy, because one who possesses a divine fiat is not subject to any unhappiness. Everything was ours. However, since our works and pains in our divine volition served for the purchase of the kingdom for the human family, and each additional pain doubled their rights to a gain so great, out of love for them and to see them happy, we felt glorious, victorious, that the day of our life down here be filled with pains and works for their sake, and not only for this, that is, for the good of creatures, but because operating in the fiat gives a divine volition the field to operate. And by operating in it, it is heavens that run in that act. It is suns that one encloses. It is immense goods that spring forth. In sum, it is that divine fiat that can do everything and possess everything. Then I continued my abandonment in the supreme volition, and I was thinking about the many truths that my beloved good, Jesus, has told me about the fiat. And he, sighing, added, "My daughter, for as many truths as I have manifested to you about my will, so many divine lives of my will have I put out for the good of creatures. Now these lives exist, and are so many as to be able to fill the whole world with life of the divine will, and to bring the good they contain into the midst of creatures. But since they are not known, they live hidden, inactive, without bringing the good that each truth possesses. They are all in waiting, waiting with divine patience for those who will open the doors to let them out. And this will be done by those who will occupy themselves with making known to the world that these lives exist, and by opening the door to them, they will put them on the way into the midst of creatures, so as to let each of them perform the office they have, and hold out the light and the good they possess. In fact, now these truths have feet, but cannot walk, hands, but cannot operate, mouth, but cannot speak. What an account will those who keep so many lives inactive not have to give me? Look at them, my daughter, how they are all in the act of wanting to walk, operate, speak. But since they do not make them known, it is as if they have no feet, hands, and voice. I looked, and oh, how touching it was to see the number of these lives that was so great that I could not count them, all in the act of wanting to move, to speak, to bend down over each creature, so as to hold out their hands to them, let them hear their lesson, and offer to them the kiss and the good of the divine fiat."
I'm going to look at the end there, the third paragraph from the end. I repeat that. He says, "But since they are not known, they live hidden, inactive, without bringing the good that each truth possesses. They are all in waiting, waiting with divine patience for those who would open the doors to let them out. And this will be done by those who will occupy themselves with making known to the world that these lives exist. And by opening the doors to them, they will put them on the way into the midst of creatures, so as to let each of them perform the office they have and hold out the light and the good that they possess." So we can say that this is addressing us, but in an indirect way, because we don't have offices, you could say, but we really do, because whatever station we are in life, and however we're using the divine will, we have office. Of all the people in the world, there's an awful lot of people like us just struggling to learn and to know and to love it. And that's what he's addressing here, including us. To sum up, this reading, Jesus is looking for souls to possess the divine will. And then, this is a big part, pass it on. And so that would be what our role is. We all have different roles. And the more we learn, the more we know, the more we can pass it on. So we have different, our roles change as we advance in the divine will. And that's who we are. All the people that are learning, try to learn the divine will in the world are included in this, even though it doesn't say it. But we're all in different stages, and we're advancing at different stages. And so we can do what. And the more we know, the easier it is for us to pass it on and to answer questions. And so that's our process now, is to learn as much as we can, to study it, and it'll change our role. And the more we know, the more we can pass this on to others. And that's what I got out of this. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon. August 23rd, 1928. Certainty of the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. Rights of God and of the creature. The new gospel. The truths about the divine fiat. Human prudence causes the most beautiful works to fail. Loneliness of Jesus, the ones who kept him company. I was thinking to myself, but is it really true that the kingdom of the will of God will come upon earth? And my lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, how is this? You doubt? Don't you know that there are the rights of God to give this kingdom and the rights of humanity to receive it? In fact, in creating man by giving his will to man as inheritance, God gave these rights, that his divine will reign upon earth as it reigned in heaven. This is so true that the life of the first man began in the fiat, and by doing his first acts in it, he placed his pledges, his works, in the divine inheritance, so much so that these pledges and acts still exist in my will. They are indelible. Though man went out of it, his acts remain, and this constitutes a right for humanity to enter once again into the lost kingdom. In fact, we do not look at man in himself, but we look at the whole human family as if it were one. And if one leaves and detaches himself, humanity always remains and can receive that which was lost by the one who left. Therefore, there are rights on both sides. If it were not so, the living of man in our kingdom would not have been a reality, but a way of speaking. While when we give in fact so much so that the human life has its origin in the kingdom of our will. If you knew what it means to do even one act alone in it, its value is incalculable. And then there are the acts of my humanity and those of the Queen of Heaven, all done in the kingdom of our divine will, by which, as the leaders of the human family, we reconfirm the rights for the creatures to re-enter into our kingdom. After this, I was concerned about the publication of the writings about the will of God, especially about certain differences. And as I was praying, my sweet Jesus made himself seen, holding his heart with his hands. So great was the sorrow he felt, and all afflicted, he told me, my daughter, how sorrowful I feel. They should have considered themselves honored. They should have boasted about and glorified in making themselves known as the ones who had this great honor to publish the truths about my holy will. I could not have given them a greater honor and glory than calling them to an office so high. But instead, they want to hide. How my heart aches. I feel so much sorrow that I cannot contain it. The truths about my fiat are the new gospel of the kingdom of my divine will, in which they will find the norms, the sun, the teachings on how to ennoble themselves, to elevate themselves to their origin, and to take the state given to them by God at the beginning of creation. They will find the gospel which, taking them by the hand, will lead them into true happiness, into constant peace. The only law will be my will, which, with its brush of love, soaked with the living colors of its light, will give back to man the likeness to his Creator. Oh, how they should have yearned to receive and to make known a good so great. But instead, all the opposite. In redemption, the evangelists consider themselves honored to make themselves known as the ones who were putting out the gospel so that it might be known by the whole world. And they sign their names with glory, so much so that when the gospel is preached, first they state the name of the one who wrote it, and then they speak the gospel. So I want to be done with the truths about my will, that everyone may know who the ones are that brought so much good into the world. But what do you think this is? All human prudence. Ah, how many divine works the human prudence has caused to fail in the midst of creatures. Like sluggards, they have reached the point of withdrawing from the holiest works. But my will know how to triumph over all and mock them. However, I cannot hide my sorrow for such a great human ingratitude at a good so great. Then I continued my round in the fiat, and while accompanying my lovable Jesus in his life down here, I felt pity for him when I reached those points in which he was all alone, not even with his celestial mama. Like in the desert and in the nights of his public life, when, withdrawing from everyone, he would almost always remain outdoors, outside of built-up areas, alone, praying, and even crying for our salvation. And I said to myself, "My Jesus, your little daughter does not have the heart to leave you alone. I want to place myself by you, and if I can do nothing else, I will whisper to your ear, I love you, I love you. For the sake of your loneliness, prayers and tears, give me the kingdom of your will. Hurry, see how the world is falling. Your will place it in safety." But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus came out from within my interior and, throwing himself into my arms to enjoy my company, he told me, "My daughter, thank you. In each of my acts, I await you always to be able to say, the little daughter of my will has never left me alone." You must know that loneliness weighed heavy on me, because the one who had come for all, had to look for all, was to be asked for by all. For each of them, I felt vividly the pains of the loneliness in which they left me. And with my searching gaze, I kept searching to see whether anyone looked for me and loved my company. And many times I looked for this comfort in vain. However, you must know that in so much loneliness in which the creatures left me, I never remained alone. I had the company of the angels and that of my mama, because though she was far away, my divine will brought me her heartbeat and all of her acts as cortege around me to keep me company. And also, from that time, it brought me the newborn of my fiat, with all the cohort of the children of my kingdom for my company. Because all times belong to my divine will, and it has the virtue of reducing them to a single point, so as to have them in continuous act at all times, without ever ceasing. Furthermore, as the soul remembers what I did and wants to be around me, she prepares the void within herself in which to place the fruit of what I did and suffered.
August 26th, 1928. The divine will is more than mother. How it grows together with the soul and forms its life in her. The lightening of the act done in him. The return of the breath of Jesus to make the divine will reign. My flight in the eternal fiat is continuous. It seems to me that I cannot be, nor can I stop anywhere else but in it. I feel it more than life, inside and outside of me, and as much as I run and fly, I find but works. An interminable and boundless property is life palpitating in everything and everywhere. And while being present up high and down below, this divine will preserves everything and its actor and spectator of everything. Now my littleness was wandering in the divine fiat, going around through the whole creation and making my little, I love you, resound in each created thing. It was asking for the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. And my lovable Jesus, making himself seen, while carrying me in his arms to let me follow the acts of his divine will, told me, my daughter, how much my will loves you. More than mother, it holds you in its arms. And while holding you like tightly to its bosom, it is inside of you to grow together with you. It palpitates in your heart. It circulates in your blood. And it walks in your feet. It thinks in your mind. It speaks in your voice. Its love, its jealousy is so great. If you are little, it makes itself little. If you grow, it grows with you. And if you operate, it expands you so much as to extend you in all of its works. A mother can leave her daughter, can separate from her, be far away. My will, never, because making itself life of its daughter, it becomes inseparable from her. So even if it wanted to leave her, it cannot, because it is its very life that lives in its daughter, and that it has formed in her. Who could ever have this insuperable power and love to form and raise one's life with her daughter? No one, only my will, which possessing an eternal love and a creative virtue, creates its life in one who is reborn, wants to be only its daughter. This is why you go around in the creation, because this mother, my divine will, wants in all of her acts, her life that she has formed in you, her daughter. Therefore, one who lives in my divine fiat runs together with the whirling, orderly, and harmonious right race of the whole creation. And just as the orderly race of all the spheres forms the most beautiful and harmonious melody, the soul who runs with them forms her note of harmony, which echoing in the celestial fatherland draws the attention of all the blessed. And they say, how beautiful is the sound that is heard in the spheres, because the little daughter of divine fiat is going around with them, within them. It is one more note and one distinct sound that we hear. And the divine volition brings it to us even in our celestial regions. Therefore, it is not you who run. It is my will that runs, and you run together with it. Then I continue thinking about the great prodigies and sublimities of the divine fiat, And while I was feeling dissolved in it, my beloved Jesus added, "My daughter, just as the lightning is unleashed by the clouds and illuminates the earth, and then it withdraws again into the womb of the clouds to light up the earth, very often with its light, in the same way, soul who lives in my will, as she operates, unleashes her lightnings from the womb of her humanity and forms more light in the sun of my divine fiat. Not only this, she lights up the earth from the darkness of the human volition. However, the lightning that the clouds unleash is limited light, while the lightning produced in my divine will is without limit. And within its light, it carries the knowledge of it. In fact, operating in my will contains the universal strength, and therefore one strength, new creation, divine life. So, as she does her act of lightning, all the doors of my works open to receive the new creation and the lightning of light of the operating the creature in my fiat. Therefore, all my works feel renewed and twice glorified, and so they all celebrate in feeling the new creative strength over them." After this, my always lovable Jesus made himself seen as a little child in the depth of my little soul. He clasped me, he kissed me, he breathed over me. I felt new life, new love being infused in me, and I repeated for him what he was doing to me. And repeating his kisses, he told me, "Little daughter of my will, as my breath breathes over you, it renews you, and with its vivifying power, it destroys in you the infection of the seed of the human volition, and vilifies the seed of my divine fiat. This breath is the origin of the human life for the creature. But as man withdrew from my will, he lost my breath. And even though life remained in him, he no longer felt the vivifying strength of my breath, which in vivifying him, maintained him beautiful, fresh, in the likeness of his creator. So without my breath, man remained like the flower which, having no more rain, wind, and sun, fades, withers, and lowering its head, tends toward dying. Now, in order to rehabilitate the kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures, it is necessary that my continuous breath return in their midst, which breathing over them more than wind, may let the sun of my will enter into them, so that with its heat it may destroy the bad seed of human volition, and man may return to be beautiful and fresh as he was created. And the flower, straightening up its stem again under the rain of my grace, raises its head again, becomes vivified, for its color tends toward the life of my will, no longer toward death. Oh, if creatures knew the great good that I am preparing, the surprises of love, the unheard of graces, how much more attentive they would be. And those who know the knowledge about my will, oh, how they would lay down their lives in order to fling them into the midst of the world, so that creatures may dispose themselves to receive such a great good. In fact, the knowledges have the virtue of helping to facilitate the human dispositions for good so great. But human ingratitude is always the same. Instead of preparing themselves, they think of all else and they hurl themselves into sin.
This finishes it up in the same vein that most of our reading is boils down to, is getting rid of our human will and being the divine will. That's what it's all about. And he finished the next to the last paragraph. He says, now in order to rehabilitate the kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures, it is necessary that my continuous breath return into their midst, that breathing over them more than wind, may they let the sun of my will enter into them, so that with its heat it may destroy the bad seed of the human will, and man may return to the beautiful and fresh as he was created. So that's the basis of our learning here, is get rid of the human will and follow his directions on staying in the divine will. Amen.
Amen. Deacon, can you give us your blessing, or does anyone else have anything to say?
Okay. We have a minute if anybody wants to make a comment.
Well, this is Ken, just wondering if we're meeting on Labor Day.
We usually meet on anything, and just whoever can come. I mean, that's the way Maureen's always done it before. So, I'm assuming that she'll do that again. But maybe she can send out a text or something. I'll ask her.
And Ken, thank you so much for your recordings. I so appreciate that. It's so nice to be able to pray a little bit later in the morning when back in Colorado. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus, for the teaching this morning. Thank you for being with us and putting up with us. And we appreciate that. We'll try to do better all the time. We want to keep improving. And we do that by your teaching. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedicat vos omnipotente es pater et filii et spiritus sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Fiat.
Amen.
Come divine will.
Fiat.
Have a blessed weekend.
Come divine will. God bless you all.
Fiat. Come divine will. God bless each of you.
Have a blessed and beautiful weekend.
God bless everyone. Thank you, Deacon.
Thank you.